Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." Matthew 23, verse 13. There are six more woes after the one I just read. When we hear his woes, I bet some of us wonder, whoa, Pastor James, so what's the issue then? What did they do that we should avoid? My take, there are three problems that Jesus wants us to avoid. And he shows us what they are in describing the Pharisees. First, their walk and their talk didn't match. Second, they put big burdens on other people's backs that they didn't carry. Third, their big, bold presence was all about putting on a show. So first problem, walk and talk. The scribes and Pharisees were always critiquing others for this. Your walk and your talk doesn't match. If you're serious, you'll do it like this. But they themselves were the worst offenders. Remember last week, the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus with a clever question about paying Roman taxes. To the Pharisees, no faithful Jew should have a Roman coin in his pocket, much less in his pocket, in the temple, the holiest place on earth. Then Jesus said, "Okay, Pharisees, show me what's in your pocket." And they were full of Roman coins. Second problem, call it unbiblical burden. The teachers of Jesus' time invented traditions that were not biblical, not required by God's law, and they ruthlessly enforced them. A modern example of this would be if I said to you, "I, as your pastor and the elders of this church, have agreed that you may no longer drink alcohol of any kind. The Bible is clear that drunkenness is a sin, and if you do not submit to this new law, you will be in sin, and we will bring you up on charges." Well, drunkenness is a sin, but enjoying a glass of wine or a beer is not. So if I or the elders got up and said, "No more alcohol of any kind ever," we would have created a tradition that sounds biblical but isn't. We'd be trying to bind your conscience to our, not God's, law. Third problem, the Pharisees love to put on a show. The scribes and the Pharisees thought that they could keep their culture faithful if the people watched how they dressed. These are the phylacteries and fringes that Jesus speaks about in chapter 23. It would be a way of saying, we're different, better, because we look different. It might also be an encouragement to keep discipline. Remember, we dress this way because we're expected to live this way. But all of this emphasis on externals, it had become a show with no devotion at the heart of it. These three problems express themselves in a single demand. The Pharisees and teachers demanded that they be called rabbi or father, when their hearts, their lives, were very far from the heart of God. And remember, the people demanding that they be called rabbi or father were often the Pharisees, the lay people, who hated the compromised religious leadership. Jesus here is not saying, do away with calling this person, maybe a Bible teacher you respect, or that person, a spiritual mother or father whom you love. Do away with calling them, you know, pastor or father. There were 12 tribes of Israel until this point. Jesus begins with 12 disciples to restart Israel and to open that covenant to the world. So Jesus is saying, we're going to start over and we're going to begin again with me. Learn from me. I am the Father. I am the rabbi, the instructor, and I'm gentle and humble. If you take my words, my commands into your heart, you will become a shepherd of your family, in your church, in your community. At the end of the day, Jesus is contrasting two different kinds of family. One family, where everyone's vying for power and control, and the result is usually that they remain a family in name only. Yeah, they're all QBs, but they're mostly doing their own thing and often disliking or even hating each other. In this family, you're justified by how much better you are or think you are than the other members of your family. The other family is like this. Everyone is united in a single reality, the gift, the grace of being one family. Everyone admits that they're far from perfect and that they're committed to not just calling themselves QBs, but to loving one another and working together to welcome other people into the QB clan. In this family, your justification, your reason for being, is just the fact that you are loved by the one who made you into that big, weird, wonderful family. Can you hear the invitation to that family in Jesus' words at the end of chapter 23? How often I have longed, he said, to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Today is the day. Give your life to him. Recommit your life to him. Join and press into the work of his body on earth, the local church. We would love to see you and to see you this Sunday in worship.